Let us pray for the reading of God's precious word. Father, may we never, ever, ever take your word for granted. May we always, always be in awe of your word and be expectant of what you have to say through your word. May we always be open to your word for it to shape us and convict us and give us peace and guidance. All those things, life everlasting, comes through your word. Open the eyes of the church all over the world to see, Father, the power that you have placed in your word and the foolishness of neglecting it. We ask that you will bless it in a special way today as we dive into this passage, and that the Holy Spirit of God will give us, we pray, God, your Holy Spirit will give us what we need to understand it and to apply it to our lives. These things we pray for the honor and glory of your name and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. This morning, the scripture comes from Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. The lame beggar healed. You should find that on page 1694 of your pew Bibles. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. That is at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Bob. So this is a famous passage, right? What in the world? What a huge, huge, huge miracle. You know, when Christians read this passage, they often think, I have found, that only super Christians like Peter and John can do something like this. Right? A lot of you think the same way, don't you? The fact is that any true Christian, there are a lot of people in church that may not be Christians, you know that, but any true Christian can do this. But this passage is not telling us that we should all pursue doing miracles of healing. You know that the Bible speaks of certain gifts and talents that the Spirit gives as he wishes. So there are some people who have been anointed with this specific gift of doing miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you can't. It just means that those people are, it comes easy to them. That's part of their calling. Like for me preaching, you know, it comes second nature. So because God gave me that talent, but you can all share the truth. You know, so it's like that anyone, any true Christian can do this. But there were specific people with that specific gift. And that's still true today, because God doesn't change. And his gifts and his calling does not change, the Bible tells us. So let's dive into this passage and see how is it, what else, since not everybody has that gift, then what else is there that God wants us to learn from this passage? Let's dive into it. On their way to the temple to pray, Peter and John encounter a man who was lame from birth. Bob read this to us. And he was being carried to the temple to beg, so he couldn't walk at all. Verse 3 says that when this man saw Peter and John, he asked them for money. That's the best he could hope for, right? That's the very best he could hope for that day. But John and Peter, like many of us Christians, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of money to give away, right? But they had something. They had something to give. And that's what I want to focus on today. So Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get money, something material from them. Then Peter said, he was probably disappointed, the man, when Peter says to him, "Silver or gold I do not have." Imagine his face. He probably thought, "What? Then why are you asking me to look at you?" He says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And he did. He walked. What an amazing, amazing miracle. This man was lame from birth. All he had hoped for that morning was to get a little money. Instead, he gets this incredible gift of healing. No doctor would have been able to give him that in spite of their knowledge. And so he gets this incredible gift of healing. And now he can walk. He can walk. Amazing, huh? But as I said earlier, there's more in this story that we need to see today. The first thing that stands out to me is that this man had no faith. He had no faith. Zero. To be healed, anyway. In fact, he wasn't even thinking about it. He was thinking about money, something material. Why is this important, you think, for you to know today? Because there are a lot of bad teaching. There's a lot of bad teaching out there that says that your healing depends on how much faith you have. You've heard that before. Yes, faith does play a part in healing. But it's not true that if you don't have faith, you can't be healed, or that if you were not healed is because you didn't have enough faith. That is not true. That's not biblical. This man had zero faith, and he was healed instantly. The second thing that stood out to me is what Peter said to the lame man in verses 4 through 6 that I read to you already. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." So he first asked him to look at him, and I think it's because he wanted him to see that he had faith. He wanted to raise his expectations. Like what? You know, that's what God wants us to do, to raise our expectations. When we pray, we're talking to the God who made the heavens and the earth. We're talking to the God who made humans from a bunch of dirt. We're talking to the God who holds Satan in check, even though he's loosed among us. We're talking to the God who saved you and me, who gave us salvation for free because of what Jesus did. So I think maybe he wanted him to see that he had faith, a faith to do mighty things in the name of Jesus Christ. He wanted that man to look into his eyes Once the man gave Peter his attention, he said to him, "That silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you." And the man walked. And so I want to go deeper. I want to ask you, I want to use this passage for you. Because the scripture, as you know, should always come from the mind to the heart and should always become personal. I don't care that you remember historical things about the Bible or not. I care that you apply what you hear from the scriptures to your life. I don't want to teach a Bible study with just intellectual information. I want to make sure you have time to pause and think, what does that mean for me today? How is that speaking to me today? How is that applying to me today? Sure, I can give you information, but that's not what you need. You need transformation. And that comes from pausing to see how this scripture can apply to us. What is God trying to do? What is the Holy Spirit trying to do through this scripture in my heart today? So, because of that, because that's really important, let me ask you this and bring the scripture into your hearts right now. What do you have to give to others in the name of God? We're not talking about miracles, although some of you may have that gift and don't know it. But what do you have to give to others in the name of God? Because what Peter says to him is, "I don't have gold or silver, but what I do have, I give to you." What do you have to give? What do you have to give to others in the name of God? Peter gave this man what he had. Nothing more, nothing less. He had faith that God could heal this man through him. He gave him that. He had faith in the Son of God to do mighty miracles, and he gave him that. He had compassion for this lame man from birth, and he wanted to do something to bless him. He had compassion. He gave him that. He wanted to bless him, and he did it. He gave him that. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, the Bible tells us in this passage, and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Amazing miracle. But here's what I want you to hear again, more than that. We all have something good to give to others in the name of Christ. Your gifts, your talents, your time, your money are to be shared, not hoarded. What do you have to give? Are you a good cook? Cook for others and bring meals to them. Are you an encourager? Look for ways to encourage others. Has God blessed you financially? Then be generous towards God, His church, and others. Are you a good gardener? Then use your skills to make other people's gardens beautiful, not just yours. Are you a good helper? Find ways to help people. Are you a good painter? Go help someone paint. Who knows what you'll find? Are you a good counselor, a good listener? Go listen. Listen to people. Maybe that's all they need. Many counselors make their money by just listening. They say, "Tell me how you're feeling," and then at the end they say, "Okay, we'll see you next time." And they send them a bill. Maybe you're a good listener. Do you encourage people through letters? Continue to send letters. Continue to bless others with what you have. It doesn't mean that I'm not saying that you have to burn out and be busy, 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 busy doing and not being. But just think of others. Think of God's people. Think of His church. Think of what you have to give to others. The point is that we all have something good to give, and we should be giving joyfully in the name of Jesus. What I give to you. What I have, I mean, Peter said, I give to you. I don't have this, and I don't have this. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But what I do have, I give to you. What do you have? Maybe God needs to show you what you have. But what you have is important, very important. And some things are easier to give than others. The Bible says, for example, that the love of money is the root of some evils. No, doesn't say that. The love of money is the root of all evils, all. And so that's why when I prayed for our children today, I prayed against the love of money. Because we can put our trust in money and forget about the call to be generous. And what about our time? Some people may say, well, I'm retired. I don't want to do anything else. I'm done. You know, I just want to take care of me, which is good. Take care of you. Do things that you've never done now that you're retired. But there are things that you can do with your time instead of using it all on you. What I have, I give to you. What I do have, I give to you. We all have something good we should be giving. Let me just end with this, because it would be irresponsible for me not to end with this warning. In the gospel, Jesus tells us that above all things, we should guard our hearts. Above all things, not above some things, above all things. Whenever you see those strong words, all or never, pay attention to that. So in the gospel, Jesus tells us that above all things, we should guard our heart. Why do you think that is? Have you ever thought about that? Well, he kind of answers a question in the same breath. Jesus says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. He says that in Luke 6:45. In other words, we will give to others what is in our hearts, right? So we need to be careful what is in our hearts, because that's what we're going to give. That's what Jesus is saying. So that means that if we're harboring anger in our hearts, we will give anger away. If we are harboring suspicion, you know how some people are suspicious? I grew up with someone in my life who was very suspicious, and I was always like, I bet you I did something, and I just don't know what it is, because this person is very suspicious of me. And I grew up doubting myself, because this person was suspicious of everything, intentions and everything. And I was always thinking, I know I did something wrong. I need to find out what it is. Well, that person was very suspicious. So if we harbor suspicion in our hearts, we will be suspicious of others. That's what's in our hearts. What I give to you, what I have, I give to you, right? That's why Jesus says, guard your heart above all things. If we are greedy and covetous, we will hoard our money and not be generous, and we'll be like, my money, I earned for it, I worked for it, I studied for it, whatever, my money. If we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we will have a hard time forgiving others. Because that's what's in our hearts, unforgiveness. You want to keep that trash? In your heart, trash is meant to be swept off out of your property, the property of your heart. You need to guard your heart. Above all things, guard your heart. You have, who knows, self-rejection and self-hatred. That's what you're going to, the way you're going to see others. Gossip comes from that. Not liking yourself, feeling like people owe you something. People are gypping you, are just tricking you in some way, not giving you what you deserve. Then we begin to gossip and look for the bad in others. There's a beautiful song from Amy Grant, old song that I love. I want to have my Father's eyes. I want to see people the way God sees them. So all these things that may be coming from our heart that we're giving to others may not be so good. That's why we need to work in taking care of our hearts and keeping our hearts beautiful. It's a garden. Pull the weeds out of your heart. Till the soil? Move it around. Nurture it. With good, happy things, truth and righteousness. Guard your heart above all things. Let's take the time to examine our hearts, because it will be like that. What we have in our hearts is what we will give. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in our hearts, that's what we will give to others. That's what will come out. So let's take this time to examine our hearts and ask ourselves today, what good do I have in my heart to give to others? And what am I giving that's not good? And let's pull those weeds out today. And let's ask God to heal our hearts and make it right, so that we don't end up giving all this bad stuff out. Let's give those good things out that others desperately need. Listen, there may be things that only you can give to others. There may be things that only you are the only one who's been equipped to do well. No matter how much I think and how creative I am, I can't come up with the amazing signs that Steve and Tammy come up with. Everybody has a very distinct and unique gift. I use mine joyfully preaching the truth. I want you to use yours joyfully. I want you to ask God as we pray, what do I have to give? Let me give out of that good that I have. And what am I giving to others that is not good? And let me renounce that to that in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Just going to leave a few moments in silence so that you can talk to God. He's here. He's your Abba, Papa, Father. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your response to this message. Father, we pray that our hearts will be cultivated with good things. We pray that our hearts will be fountains of living water, where others come and drink from the living water. We pray that our hearts will be fountains of water that refresh others. We ask you to forgive us, Father, for the things that we give out that are not from you. And Lord, there's only two sources. The good comes from you and the bad comes from the enemy. We don't want to be instruments of the enemy. We want to be instruments of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. So Lord, help us, help us to always ask, what do I have in my heart to give to others today, this week? And what am I giving that is not good? And let me repent, let us repent, and give from the abundant blessings that you pour upon us. These things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.